This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Internet security.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Some of the biggest names on the web have a meeting with the FBI today in Washington. AOL, Google, Microsoft, etc., will be told they should keep customer records for at least 2 years. That's to help the government investigate both child pornography on the internet and terrorist activity. Some of the companies and advocacy groups are raising privacy concerns about this. Stay tuned. In a couple hours, Walmart shareholders kick off their annual meeting in Bentonville, Arkansas. The stockholders are supposed to vote on a half dozen resolutions. None of them is expected to pass. But as John Dimsdale reports, the activists in this bunch think they're making some headway.
The resolutions range from requiring more equitable salaries to disclosure of political contributions to more humane slaughter of poultry sold at Walmart stores. Retail analyst Howard Davidowitz says unions and other shareholder activists have gone after Walmart because of its size.
They've become a target, just like Microsoft was. When you're big and powerful, people try to beat you down. That's just the way it works.
But Tom Kegel of the Teamsters Union, which is sponsoring today's resolution on political contributions, says vigilant shareholders make the company a better investment.
We feel it's very important that there is corporate governance responsibility in the boardroom. And as shareholders to major corporations, we have become very active with respect to resolutions.
Walmart's board of directors is recommending no votes on all of the shareholder resolutions. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Heinz, the ketchup people, has been getting some pressure to make shareholders more money. Yesterday, Heinz said it's going to pour out some 2,700 jobs and close 15 plants. The company wants to focus on three areas: sauces, snacks, and baby food. Heinz profits dropped 19% last quarter, but its stock hit a yearly high yesterday. Today, some new recommendations for the food industry from both the government and consumer groups. This has to do with fighting obesity. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The report recommends that restaurants market more low-fat foods and give diners calorie information in a uniform format. Margot Wooten of the Center for Science in the Public Interest says once restaurants start telling us what's inside, they'll adjust what's inside.
If people realize that they were eating a whole day's worth of calories in a single piece of carrot cake, the restaurants would change the way they make the food.
Half the country's restaurant chains now give some calorie information. Indeed, executives from the Subway sandwich chain and Bertucci's pizza chain endorsed the report. But the National Restaurant Association declined. Sheila Cohn is the group's dietitian.
We don't want to support any suggestion of steps that could lead to a mandate.
She argues forcing calorie info onto the menu is a problem because menus constantly change. For years now, the industry has resisted mandates successfully. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We had a little rally on Wall Street. The Dow climbed 91 points to 11,260. The Nasdaq jumped 41 to finish at 2219. And the S&P 500 was up 15. The rally pushed the Nasdaq into positive territory for the year. Today, the dollar gained against the yen, and oil is about $71 a barrel. This is Marketplace. All those Fed interest rate hikes are starting to bleed over into mortgage rates, and not just adjustable rate mortgages either. More now from Hillary Wickay.
Freddie Mac says rates on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages averaged 6.67% this week. That's just over a point higher than this time last year. The average for 15-year fixed-rate mortgages is higher as well. Greg McBride is with Bankrate.com. He says these higher rates are an additional headwind on an already slowing housing market.
Mortgage volume is down about 20% relative to a year ago, but there's still a lot of refinancing in the pipeline just because there are a lot of adjustable rate mortgage borrowers that are seeing a potential increase coming down the pipeline and realizing that now is the time to act.
He says borrowers with adjustable rate mortgages scheduled to jump up would do well to refinance to a fixed rate loan before those rates get even higher. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and health resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. 1 week from today, the biggest sporting event on the planet gets underway in Germany. By some estimates, up to 80% of Earthlings will watch the World Cup. Consider this, the Super Bowl TV audience is something like 100 million. The soccer tournament will draw close to 30 billion. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad is with us. Hi, Diana.
How are you doing, Scott? Doesn't that blow your mind?
It's amazing. That is something for advertisers to salivate over.
Yo, they are licking their chops. I mean, you know, the tournament's taking place in Germany, as you're going, I understand.
I am going.
I'm so jealous.
I can't wait.
I can't wait for you to tell me when you get back all your stories. But there are hundreds and hundreds of sponsors going to run their ads through all this television and web coverage. 15 official sponsors paid up to $50 million. But the big four, really, that are going to clash in there are the Coke and Pepsi and the Adidas Nike. And really, it's the Adidas Nike. This is their time to splash the world, you know?
What are the two doing to make that splash?
Adidas was born in Germany, still operates out of Germany, and you know, they're one of the official sponsors. So what they've gone is and done is spent all their money on the big stars. David Beckham, Thierry Henry from France, and, of course, Ronaldinho. You know, they've gone and spent their money on these stars, and they're going to make them the center of their ad campaigns. Whereas Nike, they've had to be a little more sneaky. And what they've decided to do is create this big world of soccer, kind of interactive, get on there, talk about the fans, talk about the teams you love, live website all about the World Cup. And that's going to be their little playground, you know, over the month-long period.
In terms of the actual television ads, how do companies approach things differently with the World Cup, say, versus the Super Bowl?
Well, you can imagine the Super Bowl, even though the game period's only about 3 hours, you know, we have the pregame and the postgame, so it's really all day long, but it's still a one-day event. And so, you know, advertisers take a lot of risk. They do all kinds of crazy, offbeat, controversial ads so that they can be recognized just for that 60 seconds, or they might have two or three spots during that time. But now you've got a month-long period. I mean, God forbid that you've missed the game between, you know, Ghana and the United States, and that was the only big 60-second ad you bought. So instead, they go much more conservatively. And evidently, almost all the ads are going to be based around soccer.
Well, I bet the ads will be, well, not quite as fun to watch as the games, but they'll be fun.
No, they will be fun. But I guess, you know, it's so hard. If you listen to jock radio all day long, they still love to put down soccer. Who's going to watch the World Cup? Who cares? Well, let's get real. We're talking about, as you said, some 28 billion people, you know, over a month will tune in. And if you don't tune in here, as far as I'm concerned, you're out of it. You've got to turn into the world's greatest sporting event. If you don't get to go firsthand like you.
I totally agree. Diana, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Scott. Have fun.
Diana Nyad is the Marketplace Business of Sports commentator in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Politics, as they say, makes for...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.